Wondery's new podcast, Dis and Tell, wades into the glorious mess of celebrity beef. Each episode explores a different iconic celebrity feud and asks, what does our obsession with these feuds say about us? Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about. I'm ye old bravs. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Ben Loon.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How's life treating you over there?
I am, like, this is a very fun, exciting Monday morning, I have to say. Life is treating me well. I feel like it's rainy and cozy here in LA. We got exciting stuff to talk about. We've got an exciting show to recap. So I'm doing really, really well over here. How about you?
Good. Everybody go vote. We just put up preliminary voting round for the Golden Crappy Awards, which is this February 17th in a couple weeks in Los Angeles at the Palace Theater. It's going to be a really fun show. It's a big house. Lots of really fun special guests. Never know who's going to come. So yeah. You should. You should definitely come. Okay. And get tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com.
And you know what? Since today the voting did officially open, I do want to tell people what the categories are, because no one knows what the categories are. So I'm just going to quickly go through the categories, just let everyone know. We have our standards. We've got like Best Bravo Show of the Year, Best Bravo Celebrity of the Year, Best Bravo Moment of the Year. We have Best Fight. We have Biggest Villain, Most Memorable Scandoval Moment. Scandoval was so big, we gave it its own category. Most Cringe, always a favorite. Biggest Fail, Best Newbie, Best Quote, Best Supporting Character. Here's a new category, Biggest Fuckboy. It was a big year for fuckboys, so they got a category. And probably the defining category of the year, Best Scandal. So if you want to weigh in on any of those things, this is our round one of voting. These votes are going to determine what our final nominees are going to be. So our nominations. So definitely go vote and have fun with it. And by the way, send it to anyone you know who you think would be interested in this. You know, send it along, share it. We want to get as wide a pool as possible. So already, by the way, like over 2,000 votes in the first hour. Amazing. So thanks everyone for voting.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. We're putting the show together now and cracking up. So it's going to be fun. Join us for that. Also, we are doing Traitors today. So welcome to this very special Traitors episode. We can't pass the Traitors up. Okay, this is some good shit. We're both in love with this show. Unfortunately, it means some other stuff has to go on temporary back burner. Right now, it's Potomac because, frankly, it deserves it. Potomac is having a rough time. We are going to talk about Potomac at the end of this episode. Also, Real Housewives of Miami will be back for full recaps this week. But, you know, we're going to juggle a couple of things in and out of the schedule as we go along. It's a big schedule change time for Bravo. That's what happens every few months when all the shows change over. Southern Charm is changing over to Vanderpump Rules and then Summer House and then all this other stuff is coming. So just be patient. And you know what? There's like a slew of recaps. Just go listen and have a good time and go listen to bonuses, all that good stuff.
If you want to sound off about it, you know what you can do? You can join in for Crappy Hour tonight, which is happening. You didn't mention it. Did you mention it?
Tonight. Crappy Hour is our live Instagram show every other Monday at 5:30 Pacific on Instagram. Okay, so let us get into this. So, Traitors. Wow, I'm so into Traitors. I looked up, Michelle Collins tweeted something like, we all love Traitors, but the UK one is even better.
I heard it's amazing.
And I'm watching that right now. So I started looking that up. And then everybody's going crazy talking about the UK one, which, of course, would be right up our alley. We love that show. Great British Bake Off. We loved recapping that. We've done, you know, Real Housewives of Melbourne. You know, we love doing terrible accents. So this would have been perfect for us. Unfortunately, not easily streamed. How do we live in a global world where you can't just easily stream this shit in America?
Isn't it on Peacock? Isn't British Traitors
only
on Peacock?
Season one. Not this current season. There's a current season right now. Season one's not going to do us any good to recap.
Yeah. People are losing their mind for season two, which obviously I haven't seen. And season one, I watched the first episode of it. After the last season of U.S. Traitors ended, I needed my Traitors fix. And I started to watch it, but that was right when we started to tour again. And time just sort of, I just didn't have time to watch it. But I do plan to watch that. And I also plan to watch Aussie Traitors, which is also supposed to be great, which is also up our wheelhouse for terrible accents. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll take that on. I don't want to obligate us to any recaps because Bravo, you never know what Bravo's going to throw at us. But wow, this show is so good. This is the rare show in the year 2024 where when it drops, I watch it immediately. Like I watched this at around like 6:30 p.m. on Thursday. Like I think it dropped at 6 p.m. on the West Coast. Like this was not a I'm going to wait till Saturday. The spoilers come fast and they come hard for the show, and the show, you just don't want anything spoiled, which, by the way, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about spoilers on this episode, but
that's not a spoiler. It happened. It's a recap of a show that happened. It's not, if you're listening well, to some a people recap don't, still of don't show, think
that
no if you're listening to a recap of the show, we're talking about what happened in the show. What are we going to talk about Top Chef and not say who got eliminated? Stop, people.
Wow,
go watch the show or don't listen to the recap yet. Save it. You can save it.
I was honestly blown away by Thursday's show just because it was so good. It's not even that what happened, like in terms of who was eliminated, was such a bombshell moment. It's just that the way the show is presented, the way they built it up, and the way, like honestly, the final scene, whoo, Phaedra, wow, great.
Well, there have been some Phaedra complaints because we have gotten Phaedra back on Married to Medicine. We got her on The Real Housewives of Ultimate Girls, The Real Housewives Ultimate Girls, not of Ultimate Girls Trip. I'm never going to unlearn that.
It's okay.
So we got her on that. She was pretty entertaining on that. But Married to Medicine so far, she's kind of like, eh, you know. She was on Dubai, which was kind of a nothing appearance. So people are like, what's Phaedra? We need the real Phaedra back. You know, stop hiding. Well, she's back.
She came back
tonight in The Traitors. Wow.
So good. This is the perfect vehicle for Phaedra. This is where Phaedra's, like her Southern Belle, thing is perfect for the show. I don't think it's perfect for other reality shows necessarily because she doesn't give anything, but this is a show where she actually benefits from not giving anything. But then also when she drops the mask, it's like thrilling. Oh my God. Well, we're going to get into it because that final scene I've been all weekend long, I've been saying, I don't like that. Everybody hates you. So let's dive in to this episode 4 of Traitors US Season 2.
So where we left off last week, the Traitors, who are Parvati, Dan, and Phaedra, they have to get a poison chalice to somebody and slowly kill them off. So they're given this rusty cup. And Parvati loves stabbing people in the back. You know, Dan explains everything. He's like, here's how this game works. And then Phaedra's like, well, I hope we don't kill anybody I like. But Parvati's like, I will murder people. That's my thing. So let me just betray somebody. You know, people who are just born to be bad on reality TV. She's apparently that person. And I love that for us. I don't like people like that in real life, obviously, but you need them on shows like this. And especially that she's like a young Annette Bening. I love Annette Bening. She's not in enough things.
Yeah. She is like, so she has to give this chalice, this poison chalice to someone. And the Traitors had like narrowed it down to like 3 or 4 people. There was going to be like MJ or John or Sheree. And maybe there was another, maybe like Larsa or something. But Parvati was having trouble isolating people and, you know, handing them the chalice. So she's looking around, and the cliffhanger was that she's like, I, in the corner, found the perfect victim. And so when we come back, she's like really amping it up. She's like, the pressure's on. It has to happen now. There's no room for error. I'm looking at this group and I'm like, who in the world can I hand this cup to? And they're going to drink out of it. And then I finally find my target. So then she like walks through the kitchen. And of course it's Ek and Sue, because Ek and Sue is just like, you know, I don't even know if Ek and Sue realizes she's playing this game right now.
Yeah, she's not the brightest for sure. But also we have to mention that they were going to, Parvati, this is very difficult because you can't just hand the cup to somebody. It's not like you can just leave it somewhere and someone's like, oh, this is my cup. It's a very specific cup. They know they didn't pour it themselves and you have to stand there and make them drink it. So it's rough. And so at first she's like, well, maybe I can try Sheree because she's right here. And Phaedra catches her and gives her a look like, a bitch. Mm-hmm. Don't even try it. So she's already pinging Phaedra, right? So then she decides, just go for the dumb person. Which, you know, dumb people justice. Justice for dumb people. Why are dumb people always targeted? I feel like it's not fair.
It isn't fair. And yet dumb people also are the ones that succeed. So so Parvati just goes up to like Ekansu, and they're just sort of like talking, you know, she's like, oh, who do you think the traitor is? Whatever. And Ekansu's like, but when I leave this show and I find out who the fucking traitor was that betrayed me, I'm going to fuck them up. yeah, looking forward to that, Ekansu.
So Parvati just gives her a cheers and she goes, oh, you can have this drink. Just go ahead and cheers. So she does drink it, you know, to do a cheers, and then she hands it back to her. So that to me was pretty obvious, but not to anybody else on the show. I mean,
well, because like they have no idea that that's like a murder technique, right? So it just seems like Parvati is saying,
later,
like,
I mean, when he's
later,
one of you has been poisoned, and they're like, oh my God, who could it have been? I was like, the girl was walking around trying to get you all to drink from a glass. But it's obvious because they show you, you know, it's not obvious when you're actually in the situation. I get it.
Yeah, maybe she was really drunk. But yeah, you're right. Like this, like, how do you not remember this moment? And Ekansu was like, oh, I love you. I would never think you're a traitor. And Parvati is like, I love you. As she's like actively eliminating her from the TV show.
Yeah. So she's like, I just feel so bad about getting rid of her, but I just had to do it. That's just what you do on a show like this. So then Ekansu's like, guys, if I'm gone tonight, I love you all. Good night. I won't be though. Surely I won't be. And Dan's like, let me tell you, I have no clue who got murdered, but this is how the game works. Someone's got to take a cup, and then you give the cup to someone, and someone has to be dumb enough to drink. It's like, oh my God, just fucking, oh, we get it, Dan. Okay, we get it. Fucking Dan like, is the dad standing there. It's like, hey, Dad, your dad offers to put together an IKEA dresser for you, and then stands there reading the directions out loud to you. Like, you are the one who's supposed to be putting this together, okay?
I know, and he does this confessional. He does this like sideways thing where he goes, the ideal victim would be someone like Larsa or MJ, because I was really starting to, they're really starting to question me a lot in this game. I'm like, that's the worst victim. What are you talking about? If someone's questioning you and then you eliminate them, do you know how guilty that makes you look? But then again, this cast, by the way, we really have not emphasized how dumb all these people are, because none of them are using any sort of logic to come to any conclusions. Every single week, it's like, I didn't like the way she looked at me. Like, no one is thinking, oh, this person would have acted this way if they were the traitor, or this person would have voted this way if they were the traitor. Like, no, literally no one is doing that.
They don't look at who looks guilty and then go for that person. And I feel like there are people who should know better, like anybody with a dog, because I feel like Dan really gives that look, like when the dog poops in the house, and then you're like, did you poop in the house? And the dog looks at you like his tail's between his legs, and he looks scared, like, oh God, I'm going to get told off. And Dan has that look through this whole game. He looks so guilty. He's not smooth at all. And nobody, well, MJ, I guess, guessed that it was Dan, but nobody else will even go with her once they hear his name.
Also, one thing that they should be looking at is voting records, okay? Right now, I mean, we've definitely seen it in the past that traitors will vote out one of their own if one of their own is in trouble. But generally speaking, if the if a traitor is not in the hot seat, they're not going to vote for each other. So if like the majority of people vote for one person, look for who voted for that person. And then you can at least start to narrow down your pool, because you've got to imagine, okay, chances are, if that was a faithful, chances are a spy vote or a traitor voted for the faithful. But they don't ever think like that. So they think like Dan, which is like, oh, someone's coming after me. I've got to eliminate them, which is like the most guilty thing you could possibly do. I almost wish, I almost wish that it happens. That way Dan would get some heat on him.
So Alan comes out in a ball gown, like Cinderella's godmother, as he does. And he's like, it's been another fateful night in my castle. And swirls around and a pumpkin, you know, comes out. And he tells us, like, Ekansu has been targeted by the traitor's poison. But will it do his work? Come, let's do a challenge in the middle of the woods that's creepy for no reason.
Also, he also just casually mentions very quickly that Deontay has left the game. And then in exit interviews, Deontay apparently left because it was bringing him too much childhood trauma.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. No. Like too much like child because it's well probably because he participated in one witch hunt and he led another and
he cried. He was crying on the couch last week. They're like, are you okay? He's like, I can't do this.
I just can't do it.
Like, you beat people up for a living.
I know. And people were noticing how savage it was that he's crying about sending people home. And it was Phaedra who's like dabbing his teardrops while she's the one who's been framing him or framing these people that he's been sending home.
That's our girl. So Dan, Parvati, and Peter are the first three to breakfast. What will they have? A croissant? Let us see. What croissant will be eaten today by the traitors?
A croissant of murder. So they are there first.
Pan a murder hunt. Pan chocolate a murder.
Please enjoy your stack of murder encrusted pancakes. So they didn't get to go to their turret, the traitor's turret. Last night. So this is their chance to sort of like touch base. And so Dan's like, so like, do you know, like, did we murder anyone? And Parvati's like, I don't know. I mean, did you see, like, did you see who drank it? And she's like, well, would anyone in this castle drink from Parvati's poison cup? I don't know because she's not the most liked, but I don't know if this is Parvati saying this actually. Maybe it was Phaedra who's saying this.
It was Phaedra, yeah.
But either way, Parvati comes
in
next.
Why would you drink from that girl's cup, you know?
I'm sorry, I got my notes all mixed up. Sorry. It was Phaedra who was talking all this time, not Parvati. Now Parvati enters, and she tells them, like, it was Ekansu.
Yes. So they tell her, and they're like, oh, my God. Ah, la, la. So she's like, well, yeah, listen, guys, I had to throw a Hail Mary because no one was going to drink out of that rusty old cup. I just had to do it. So Phaedra hears Ekansu's name, and she's like, oh, Lord, not Ekansu. Lord, please. Please, no, not Ekansu. No, no, Lord.
Parvati, which is, by the way, what a lot of Ekansu's castmates often said on Love Island. So Parvati is like, well, I'm sorry. Like, she was the only person I could think of. I don't know. What about Trishel? Trishel was sitting there. Why didn't she take out Trishel? I mean, I think we all would have enjoyed that.
I mean, Trishel needs to go, you know, not only because of her, you know, behavior in the first episode, did not love that, but also her hats. Like, just go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like she's dressing like an American Girl doll. And it's just, it's triggering. You know, those dolls were always terrifying. My niece loved them and carried them around ever. My niece had one that was on crutches, had glasses. I mean, shit, she would have put braces on it if she could. Like, she found any malady to give this visible malady to give this poor doll. You know, I was like, this is like, what do you call it when you give your kids, you make up things for your kids or you start giving your kids diseases on purpose? What is that called? Munchausen's by proxy. She was like a Munchausen's by proxy mother to an American Girl doll. And it disturbed me. I wanted to just rescue the doll. And that's kind of how I feel Trishel is being. She's trying to dress like an American Girl doll, and it's making me project all of my American Girl doll fear onto her.
I like it. It's like the union of American Girl doll and Gypsy Rose Blanchard or Gypsy Lee, whatever her name was. So it's definitely like very Emily in Paris. It's very. I never thought when I first watched Trishel gallivanting around the Palms Hotel and Casino on Real World Las Vegas that like 20 years later she would just be like someone in a Scottish castle wearing berets all the time. It just is not the trajectory I ever saw for her, but. I guess that is what makes Trishel Trishel, is that she always defies expectations. and she kind of sucks now. And she's just like a much lamer version of what she always was. So, yeah,
exactly. I was going to say, that's not, she doesn't really defy expectations. She's exactly who you thought she would be 20 years later. She's just in a different location than you could have guessed.
Well,
you know?
I was.
This wasn't invented back then, so.
Yeah, I was excited when I saw that Trishelle was on the season. And then when I was thinking about it, I was like, why was I excited? It's not like Trishelle herself has ever been amazing. She's always been dumb as a rock and ridiculous and awful. And that's, and I was like, oh, that's why I always get excited by the name Trishelle. But I forgot that like Trishelle herself actually brings very little to the table. And this show has really reminded me that.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Being an actual royal is never about finding your happy ending. But the worst part is, if they step out of line or fall in love with the wrong person,
it changes the course of history.
I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
We've been telling the stories of the rich and famous on the hit Wondery show, Even the Rich, and talking about the latest celebrity news on Rich and Daily. We're going all over the world on our new show, Even the Royals.
We'll be diving headfirst into the lives of the world's kings, queens, and all the wannabes in their orbit throughout history. Think Succession meets The Crown meets real life.
We're going to pull back the gilded curtain and show how royal status might be bright and shiny, but it comes at the expense of, well, everything else. Like your freedom, your privacy, and sometimes even your head. Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Even the Royals early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So, Dan is like, you know, this is a good thing for me long term. And she's like, oh, sorry, guys, I didn't know what else to do. So now people start entering the breakfast room.
Well, but also, by the way, Phaedra, the reason why Phaedra is fanning herself so much is because I guess Ek and Sue had come for Phaedra just a little bit. Not even that. It was that the night before Phaedra had voted to get rid of Ek and Sue. So now Phaedra is paranoid that people are going to think that this was like Phaedra's like revenge strike. But that doesn't really even make sense. And again, no one's paying attention to voting records on this show, so it's not even a concern. And if you're a traitor and you try to vote out Ek and Sue at the round table, but then you kill her later on at night, that also doesn't quite make sense. So I kind of think Phaedra is in her own head on this one.
So people start coming in, and just Janelle's like, I didn't even sleep, and I had a shield. So that's basically where I'm at right now. I mean, literally can't even sleep in this stupid fucking house. God, everyone's so stupid here. You know, I was kept up with the noise of people's stupidity swimming around my brain. I just went to bed thinking of all the stupid fucking people in this house. That's basically where I was last night.
Yeah, I hate her. I love her disdain of all these, of everyone around her. That's like a very classic Janelle thing. She's just always hated all her castmates every single season.
She hates everything around her, which I really enjoy because I get it. But also, she's not the brightest either. Like, she's not guessing a bunch of stuff on this show. She guesses wrong every time something comes out of her mouth, but still rooting for Janelle. I love Janelle.
Always rooting for Janelle. Also, Janelle is the one who should be most scared. Once Ek and Sue dies, she should be scared because she's the one who had the biggest beef with Ek and Sue.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So anyway, Trishelle and CJ enter
this show. There's so much happens on the show. I had to think about it in a minute. And I was like, oh, yeah. I like when they just put their beef aside. They, like, started fighting about their beef at the round table. And they're like, who cares about our beef?
I know.
Beef. We'll get to our
beef. Like, hey, you're making us beef right now. So Trishelle and CJ enter next. Not CJ, CT. And so they're all like, yay. And they're just, like, getting more and more nervous. They all become... They all are convinced that MJ is going to get killed next, which, so here's again a thing that drives me nuts. They all are like, well, MJ is definitely going to get killed next. So why do they think MJ is going to get killed next? Because she had a really hard line of questioning. And why don't they ever think, who was that questioning towards? Dan. She was questioning Dan. And they're all like, well, she's definitely going to get killed. But no one ever thinks that. But therefore, it's probably Dan who's a traitor. They're just like, no, she'll get killed because she questioned things.
Yeah, she questions things too much. So the traitors are going to come for her. So let's see. So now they're like looking at their little portraits on the wall and everything. And CT is like, you think it's a woman this time? They're going to switch it up? Like, what's going on? Because there's only like five or six guys left. Like, everyone from Bravo still here. I mean, I'm sensing a little bad in here, all right? Like, it'd be nice to see a Bravo housewife murdered. Jesus Christ. Listen, I've got a very big butt. That's really all I heard. And I had to go back and read my notes. I was like, God, I love CT and his butt. I know that's sexual harassment, but we don't technically work together. I'm allowed to sexually harass people I don't work with, right?
Yeah, CT never had a butt like this before. And I think that we've both seen him in person, up close and personal. And there never were butts and thighs like this on CT. But now he's basically like an ox back there. And I'm like that too. Whatever CT's saying, it's just like big butt, big butt, big butt, big butt.
I love it. He's so cute.
I also think it's funny that they can name check the housewives and be like, all the Bravo people are still here. But they seem, I wonder if they're not allowed to mention that all the CBS people are on CBS, because they're just referred to as gamers. All the gamers are here. But like, Bravo gets full brand endorsement on this show.
Yeah. So let's see. So other people come in. Sheree, Tamara, and Larsa come in, and Kevin and Sandra. And Janelle's like, the Bravo people are definitely working together. They are so clicky, but whatever, it's fine. Because we've got a click of gamers. CT, Dan, Sandra, and Parvati. And then it's the faithful. Well, people that they think are faithful. So like Bergie, Trishelle, Peter, John. Basically, you could also group them together as stupid people. They're together.
Yeah. She's like, Kevin's a faithful, but he's a really, really dumb faithful. Which is fair. Also, that really says something in this group, if Kevin is the dumb one. So then Peter shows up alone, and Peter's like such a whatever. I don't know why he's on this season. And then and Pedro's like, oh, you look all tan and rose. He goes, do I? That's what a good night's sleep will do if you have a shield. I'm like, sir, do you remember that you're supposed to be having a fake beef with Kevin? Remember that whole thing that you guys were planning on doing? What happened with that?
So then Larsa comes in and she's like, oh my God, like, who are we like missing, guys? Like, seriously, like, there's people not here, right? Guys. I like how Larsa starts kind of yelling when she needs to get her opinion across, but it's like a not Larsa tone. She's like, guys, like, who are we like missing? Like, because like, if like, I feel like if you look around at like the people we're like missing, it's like other people who are like in my circle. Like, so that's the only thing they have. They're coming for me.
I know, I love Larsa makes it all about her. Like the traitors are some diabolical force. They're like, you know what? I know we're here to play for $250,000, but first and foremost, we should take out Larsa's circle one by one. Yeah. That's the biggest priority right
Everyone's
now.
Everyone's so terrified of Larsa.
I mean, like, that's like the only link. Like, I was really close with Johnny, what's his face? I mean, I met him that day, but I was like really close with him. Like, and I was like really close with Max. Like, and that's like my inner circle. Like, so if somebody murders MJ, like, my inner circle's like all gone. Like, literally, like, that doesn't prove anything, Larsa. What does that have to do with anything?
Larsa's a dummy.
It actually makes her look worse.
Now they're like, oh my God, is it Ekansu? Is it Ekansu? It can't be her. And Parvati's like, no, it can't be her. And everyone's agreeing, like, it can't be her. And Phaedra's telling us, by no means did I want Ekansu to die. I hope this doesn't make me look suspicious. And knock, knock, knock. Who is it? Dun, dun, dun. And Sandra goes, that was John's knock. Oh, okay. Sandra.
I love Sandra. Sandra's like, there's John Thunk.
It's just so random. Like, I know that knock anywhere. It's a knock, lady. Someone's hand going up against a door.
I know. So ultimately, Ekansu comes in, but then of course the traitors are all totally confused because she's supposed to be dead. And Parvati has this look that she does. I don't know why no one is noticing this at the table. It is the most guilty traitor look. She squints her eyes and then turns her lower lip down. And this happens all the time. She goes, just like, just makes this face like I'm a traitor who's stymied right now. Just look at her face. It's all over her face, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, she's not very good at the acting part. So everyone's like, what the hell? I thought we killed her. How is she here? So now they're guessing, oh, it has to be John then, because John's not here. But why would you kill John? He's like, not scary at all. And Janelle's like, why would they murder John? I mean, he's not working with anyone. He's like a lone wolf, a dumb one. really stupid wolf who's alone. Like, literally, who cares?
She's like, I'm starting to think, are the traders just, like, really not that good at this game? I'm like, yes, but also so are the faithful. So then, like, John has the biggest knock of all time. It's like, boom, boom, boom. And he comes in. And then now everyone is, now the traders are really confused. So no one got murdered, so everyone's, like, happy. So then Alan walks in. Greeting, players. As you may have noticed, no one died last night. And if you prick us, do we not bleed? And if you tickle us, do we not laugh? And if you poison us, do we not die? Well, today, one of you will die.
And they're like, no, the traitors have committed their murder in plain sight. Under your very noses. Whilst the poisoned player is still... Hold on. Costume change. Do it. New ball gown. All right, now, the traitors. While the poisoned player is still at this table, we will decide in a very long challenge who the poisoned player really is.
By the end of today's mission, you will be dead. Dress appropriately to pay your final respects with deepest sympathy. And then Sandra's goes, what the fuck? So, Ekansu's like, oh no, I don't like this whatsoever. Thankfully, I know exactly who the traitors are, and I know I'll be safe. So, they're all kind of like processing this information, and Poverty is like, oh fuck. Because she's like, I had a moment with Ekansu, and that was so obvious in plain view of multiple people. And I'm realizing, oh my God, the person that I poisoned, who I love, now is going to die in front of my face. And I pretend like I don't know anything about this. So she's all fucked up because she thought she'd just poison Ekansu and she'd be dead. And that's that. But if Ekansu ever thinks back on her evening and is like, wait a second, Poverty gave me a cup of wine to drink from, then Poverty's game is fully exposed.
Yeah. So then Kevin turns to Tamara and goes, hey, Tamara, I think you poisoned me because you don't want to see me eat, huh? She's
come on, guys. Jerk heads. Just eat with your mouth open like that. Look at him eat.
And then it cuts to him eating, and he does have a Southern charm, Olivia and Austin way of eating. And yeah. Chef, they all eat like that. Like, close your mouth. What is it with that one city that nobody is taught to eat with their mouth closed? It's disgusting. It's triggering. Okay, I've said that word a lot today, but it is a Bravo show. So it is a Bravo on Peacock show. So I guess it makes sense. But close your fucking mouth, dude. And she even told you it's disgusting. And you're still sitting there eating like.
I know. It's like the croissant is falling out of his mouth. And Tamara's like, if I was a traitor, I would definitely poison Kevin. He's so annoying. Bitch. Apparently also Kevin ate like a whole bunch of snacks the night before, which is not good because I think everyone just assumes that now Kevin's going to be the one that dies because he ate so many snacks. But Ekansu goes, I'm going to be less quiet today. I'm very good at sussing people out. I'm very, very good at catching people that lie. So when we find out who's gone, I shall and I will call them out. I will do that.
The only person who's not going to get me, I'm telling you, the only person who's not a murderer is Poverty. I mean, she gave me a drink. It was so nice.
Really? If it weren't for that drink, I'm not sure I'd have the energy to think back on who may have been given a drink that was full of poison. Thank you, Poverty.
So they're talking about how Kevin eats with his mouth open still. And then we see Larsa. Okay, so Larsa is in like a library or whatever. She's with Ekansu and Sheree, and Kevin's, you know, kind of behind them with his coffee. And she's like,
Guys, I can, like, kind of tell you something. Like, I feel like kind of, like, I feel like it's someone, like, really strong that who's leading the traitors. And, like, people who are being murdered are, like, strong people. So, yeah, they're, like, strong. Because, like, I'm not strong. I'm, like, better in Destiny's Child. I'm, like, not really a Beyonce-like. Okay.
Yeah, I'm like trusting my other housewives, like, because like we're in an industry like where people are like fake, like, so I feel like the housewives are good at like sniffing people out, like, because that's kind of like what we do, like.
You look like a bowling ball with a sock puppet stretched around it. Who are you calling fake?
Also, this is such an insight to the way Larsa works, where she's like, well, all the alphas are getting picked up, so it must be an alpha who feels so insecure about the other alphas that they want to get rid of them. Because that is probably how Larsa operates in her life. Whereas the truth is, it's probably a beta, who is probably picking up the alphas because the alphas are more intimidating to him. Like someone, like, I don't know, Dan. Someone like Dan. Come on, people, put this together.
Dan is an alpha, don't you think? He's acting like a beta. But Dan's like a quiet alpha.
I think he's an alpha with scheming. But I think what Larsa's trying to say is Larsa is alpha in strength, like in terms of like winning money for challenges.
Yeah. So then we see Tamara talking in a different room with Phaedra, Bergie, and John. And she's like,
you know who's on my radar? Kevin. He's just so annoying. That guy's annoying. And I'm trying to think, like, why do I think that he's a traitor? Is it because he eats with his mouth open? Is that really why I think that? But that's it. Let's get rid of him just because I eat. Hate that.
I love Tamara building a case like this. He eats with his mouth open. He's a traitor.
Because some other guy didn't carry an inhaler. I love Tamara's playing of this game.
I actually am so behind Tamara in this game. I'm like, I fully support her just because I love the idea of like having a weekly witch hunt based off of really, really inconsequential elements. Like, he eats with his mouth open, bitch. He put really his elbows on the table.
Like, the first time I was like, I don't like how he breathes. And this one,
I don't like how he eats.
The next one, it's going to be like, he's knock-kneed. Good.
I don't like that he has his part to the left in his hair. Get him, bitch!
So Dan's like, okay, but you know, in this game, like, you know, people, like, they're supposed to be handing chocolates or whatever. So, like, did anyone say, like, here's a chocolate, you know? Like, did anybody see a poisoning, you know? I mean, was there anything weird? Because in this game, what you're supposed to do is really look at what's supposed to be weird, right?
And Trishelle goes, y'all, I'm not kidding you. Someone offered me wine when I walked in, and I just cannot remember. Y'all. Trishelle, just go through the cat, look at the photos, and see what that does for you.
So funny. Because then she gave the other person wine right in front of Trishelle. Wasn't Trishelle sitting there when she finally
Trishelle was
the
right
wine?
There. That's why I was like, she should have given it to Trishelle. I saw that beret bobbing around at the bottom of the frame. And I was like, please give it to Trishelle.
Well, I think she tried to, but then Trishelle didn't take it. Right?
Probably. So, Trishelle's like, did Peppermint touch that? I'm not going to touch it. So Trishelle's like,
justice for Peppermint.
Seriously, justice for Peppermint. So Janelle's like, Ekansu's the Black Widow spider, you guys. And Trishelle's like, well, last night she was all, we need to get the traitors. We need to get the traitors. It's a tell when someone gets loud. Trishelle, you were literally the loudest person on the first episode going after Peppermint. And now Ekansu, because she said we need to get the traitors, is the bad guy. I was like, I literally can't. It's hilarious how bad they are at this.
And Janelle agrees with her. She's like, you guys, it's like really bad acting. I mean, if they're acting like they're idiots, then it's good acting. But otherwise, terrible acting. I agree with her. I agree with Trishelle.
Trishelle goes, it's overacting. It's overacting. You were crying at the round table after you led the charge against Peppermint. What are you talking about? It's overacting.
So Janelle's like, yeah, you know, I've never really trusted Ekansu. Mostly because she's like a weirdo. She's just a fucking weirdo, okay? She's just like always like giddy and like excited. You know what? Ekansu sucks. Like, she really does.
Yeah, she's always just like happy to see people and just like giving people hugs and just like nice to people. What a fucking loser.
Janelle, never been nice to a hostess at Chili's. You just know. She's like, oh my God, that girl is such a fucking idiot. When she said, like, hi, how are you guys today? Fuck her. Am I right? I would just rather sit at the bar.
Yeah, well, at least she didn't eat with her mouth open, bitch! So then Sheree, also a hilarious detective on the show. Remember last week when she, like, she voted just for, did she vote for, like, John or something or Peter? She was the only one who voted for some random thing. Like, she had no idea what was going on.
She refuses to go with the crowd because she doesn't want to gang up on people, which is kind of sweet in a way. But then she yells at everybody for guessing wrong. She's like, how dare you?
I know. She just gives someone a stray bullet. And she's like, how dare you? So she goes, so who do you guys think will be poisoned? And Kevin's like, anybody drinking alcohol probably got poisoned. And Akinzu goes, I did. I drank alcohol.
Yeah, but like we all like guys, like I feel like we all like feel like drink like feel like alcohol like.
Kevin goes, well, I didn't. And Clarice goes,
yeah, but you ate the food. I know, because I got half of it all over my face when you were like chewing.
Kevin's like, I ate way too much yesterday. I had like so many hors d'oeuvres, and then I tried like the little cheese puff things, and then I tried the shrimp thing, and then I had all of dinner. So there's no way I didn't get poisoned last night. he's the guy who's like, sorry, I've got a body to maintain. I got to eat.
So really, cheese puffs? God's got a body. Gotta eat the puffs. So then they go to a croquette course. And CJ is talking with Parvati, MJ, Bergie, and Sandra. And he's like, so what do we think about Akinzu? Dumb as a brick, am I right? And MJ's like, yeah, she's like phony baloney. And Sandra says, yeah, you know, us faithfuls are thirsty for traitor blood. And I'm a gamer. So what I do is I observe things. When anybody knocks on a door, I record that in my head. I get the cadence down. I get the rhythm down, the tone. And then I just listen for knocks everywhere I go afterwards.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out who's talking with who, who's clicking with who, who's protecting who. I know it's hard to find evidence. They're not messing up. They're not slipping up. We're running out of days.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Parvati and Dan, meanwhile, meet up. And Dan's like, Parv, everybody thinks Akinzu's the traitor. And Parvati's like, the suspicion's on Phaedra, though, because she was like the only one who voted for Akinzu. I guarantee literally not a single person has mentioned Phaedra's name. I don't know why they think this. So Dan's like, no, I don't want to be the first to shoot, but like, we got to give them some blood. You know what I mean? Before they target us, because I think she'll be the last one.
And she's like, well, I mean, that clique, you know, they're just so insulated. They've got Larsa, Sheree, Phaedra, Tamra. I mean, come on. He's like, yeah, I'm not trying to be shady, but also I'm thinking like, what if we get caught and she's not getting caught, you know? So now they're going to try and already come for a traitor?
Playing a worse game. Yeah, I don't like that either. Yeah, they're going to get caught because they're playing a worse game. Also, the Housewives clique is no different than the CBS reality show clique. There's like nothing. And also, cliques don't really work in the same. This is not Big Brother or Survivor. I don't think cliques protect you in the same way in this game. So Parvati's like, oh my God, we have to take a shot, right? And Dan's like, I don't think I can win this game as a traitor alone. And it's a little scary to trust the Black Widow and Parvati, but I think that's my choice. I don't think I can win this game with Phaedra in the traitor's conclave. What I'm working on is a great plan to use Parvati to take a shot at Phaedra when the time presents itself.
Yeah, I think that they kind of have their old games still in their head. You know, she's used to Survivor and he's used to Big Brother. And so they're always thinking of like the votes and like whose team you're on. And it just doesn't, that's not how it works. And you're not working with all of the gamers, dum-dums. You're working alone.
Phaedra's doing an excellent, excellent job. Even with her stray vote towards Akinzu, like that is... First of all, it's not putting any suspicion on her whatsoever, and it shouldn't put suspicion, because why would a traitor make a public vote against someone, and then if it doesn't go their way, then kill them later on? Like, that is, like, the worst way to be a traitor. That is the most, like, why would you telegraph your actions if you're a traitor? You're trying to, like, fit in and be smooth and be hidden. Like, the faithfuls are the ones who would vote in a way where they have no idea what's going on, which, if anything, that's what Phaedra's vote looked like. So they are thinking about this so wrong, and it's great, but I hate that they are now deciding that they're gonna go after Phaedra.
Yeah, so now they go to the cemetery, okay, and the cemetery has three holes dug with crates. What do you call them when you're dead? Your coffin.
Coffins
are in there and they're open, and so three people are going to have to go in there, and then they're going to answer. Basically, they're going to have to answer questions. It's one of their creepy ass challenges. Showed me a fucking coffin that I have to get in, no.
Yeah, I'm not about that.
And I love to lie down, but still.
So,
no.
The challenges on the show are always funny because they're so inconsequential and they don't really make sense in terms of like the larger gameplay, but they're fun. And this one, I thought this challenge was absolutely amazing just for how, like, it's the production design. I mean, Alan Cumming is in, like, a big black ball gown, essentially, and with, like, an umbrella. And he's walking. He has, like, these black horses. It's a funeral procession. So they gather at the front of the castle. And the plan is, well, he's like, today's mission will be like no other. Unbeknownst to the faithful, it is Ekansu who has fallen victim to the treacherous poison. But can they discover her identity to win the mission? I'm like, already I'm going to say no, they won't. These people are all professional reality stars, and therefore not very bright people, and they absolutely will not figure out that it's Ekansu.
Yeah. So he's like, let me remind you, the traitors among you know who's been poisoned. So look for some Emmy-worthy award acting, and not from me today. So Tamara's like, oh my God, this is the way I want to die. Just like a black carriage, horses to eat with your mouth closed. I mean, creepy people all in black. I love it.
Yeah, this is like going to any one of Shannon's taco party nights. So Parvati's like, yeah, I'm always gonna keep like thinking strategic to keep the suspicion off. But Phaedra's saying this, as a funeral directress, I'm feeling right at home because this is my expertise. I love a good funeral. And Phaedra really does love a good funeral. I mean, she already had a pretty epic one on Marriage of Medicine this season. So the fact that she's already in another funeral scene so quickly after that is like, really,
Phaedra's always just coming up with a new job. I was disappointed when she left Atlanta because she just, I was like, does she still come up with a new job every season, a new industry to enter? Because that one is hilarious. And the fact that she's still a funeral director, probably money laundering, let's be honest. She's got to be doing something fishy with that, right? Because it's just too weird of a business. But then on Married to Medicine last night, she is now a Reiki healer as well. So that's her.
Oh, no. I cannot imagine Phaedra's a Reiki healer. Is she still doing donkey booty? That's what I want to know. I want all these professions to be woven into the traitors this season. Like next year, the challenges. So you will have to do a donkey booty video. And for everyone who is able to do a squat, you earn $20,000 for your team.
Mm-hmm. So the first question, so they're asking questions basically. So he's like, okay, so the players that are safe right now are the ones that are born the same year as another person. And they cut to MJ, who's like not about to answer her year. She's like, oh, hell no. I'm not telling anybody my year.
No, I will leave this reality show before I publicly announce how old I am. Which is funny. That's like, that was an ongoing thing on Shaw's The Sunset, too, was MJ's age. So four people were born in 1974, Kevin, Dan, Larsa, and Sandra. I was surprised that Larsa was open about that. I thought Larsa would be like, yeah, 1983 over here. Yeah, 1983.
Sandra was hilarious because she goes, I didn't think Larsa and I were the same age because she looks like, I mean, the girl's at least 10 to 12 years older than me, right? Oh, the way that I died, she said.
Oh, so great. So great. So now they're just like continuing to walk. And now the next station they get to, there's like a funeral choir and they're singing. And basically their song is like, who in the march did Johnny Bananas trust the most? So the answer is CT and Trishel are the people that Johnny Bananas trusted the most. So then they are eliminated from being poisoned.
And then Ekansu is like, oh my God, they've got me. Because the next question is, who ran through the scarecrow dressed in red? And Ekansu is like, oh my God, I'm dead. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot for poisoning me, guys. Meanwhile, Parvati's standing right next to her and she's still not good.
I know. Thanks to whoever gave me a drink last night. Luckily, it wasn't Parvati. I can vouch for her. So, and then of course, Trishel's like, I just feel like Ekansu is being way over the top, almost like overacting. It just seems a little odd. Could Ekansu be a traitor? Yeah. Yeah, she could. I'm like, Trishel, I think going forward, just stop talking. I think you just don't talk the rest of the season because I think you're just like blatantly wrong every single time.
So everybody thinks it's going to be MJ, right? And Janelle's like, yeah, they're definitely going to kill MJ. I mean, it wouldn't make sense to get rid of Ekansu because like, she's useless. So why would you get rid of such a messy person? I mean, This is one place where idiots can thrive.
So. I know. Yeah, Janelle's like, yeah, she's just like so useless in the competition. She's just a messy, messy game player. So like, why would you even kill her? Also, again, they're like, oh yeah, Ek and Sue, she's probably a traitor. And MJ, she's probably going to get killed. I'm like, but do you remember last night's roundtable? The only one who was really going hard against Ek and Sue was Janelle. Do you guys remember who MJ was going hard against? Use your logic, people. Use your logic.
So Ek and Sue's like, I think it's easy to target someone like me because, you know, I'm just so charming, beautiful, intelligent, which I prove by talking about how much I believe in aliens and conspiracy theories. And, you know, people can see that I'm a threat.
Especially people who are watching through toast ovens, which is a thing. I'm telling you that right now. It's a thing. So now we have our last three, and they have to get into coffins. And everyone has to now decide who is the person who is going to get killed. And they're going to drop a black rose on top of them while they're lying in a coffin.
Oh, my gosh. So everybody basically guesses MJ. They all guess that MJ is going to die. And so they all throw flowers on top of her in her grave. And wow. I can't believe they actually closed the coffin. Well, they didn't on MJ. But then when we find out, he's like, players, pay your final respects. Ashes to ashes. Wait, does he announce her? When does he announce her?
No, well, he just sort of goes, ashes to ashes, dust to mistrust, a sad day. And what makes this day even more somebody is that you guessed incorrectly. Oh, yeah, I guess at this point it's already happened.
So they guess, right? So they guess, and then they're wrong because MJ gets all the flowers thrown on her, and then they slam the coffin door shut on Ek and Sue. And he throws dirt on her coffin. What the hell?
I know.
Listen, I've only been locked in a bathroom, and I freaked the fuck out. I freaked out. I don't think I would do well in I never thought I would be that much of a wuss either.
Yeah, no, it's scary. By the way, I firmly believe that they must have had like some. They must have paused and gotten Ek and Sue out of that coffin because they. They put the dirt on the coffin, and then they just take the coffin and go away with it. And we don't hear or see anything from Ek and Sue. And I guarantee Ek and Sue would have been screaming at this point, like, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah, so like, God, that girl's got, like, that girl's a steel magnolia.
Yeah, so they kill her. And then everyone is like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then Peter immediately is like, oh, it's MJ's a traitor. MJ's a traitor. He goes, you know, it's just a lot going through my mind right now. I'm just shocked. I'm thinking, is MJ a traitor? Is that what that means? It's got to be her if she didn't get murdered. Just nothing seems to make sense. So they're now thinking, oh, because MJ didn't get killed, she has to be a traitor because it was so obvious. Like, if she were, like, she was the obvious kill. So therefore, if she didn't get killed, the only way she doesn't get killed is if she's a traitor. But I'm like, she's not the obvious kill because she was the one who was most on to Dan. So if Dan, oh, you know, I can't do this, Ronnie. Run. This is just, it's wild, the logic.
Yeah. It's just groupthink, you know? They're like, now that they've said MJ and that they're all agreement that MJ is somehow either going to die or whatever, they're like, okay, then she's a traitor. We've already said MJ a lot today. Let's just stick with that one.
Yeah. So now they just fully believe that it's MJ. So then they just like cart out Ek and Sue's coffin. And Dan's like, whoa, this poisoning has really thrown everyone completely off the scent that there's no real reason why Ek and Sue can be pegged for the murder. So it's probably our best murder so far because it's caused the most confusion. Yeah, it's your best murder. And it's also the only murder you guys didn't plan on doing. It was an accidental one, basically. So congratulations.
Okay. Yeah. Guys, you know who it is? Like, I feel like I have to say it. It's the alpha. Guys, it's like the alpha, guys.
And Sandra's like, my strategy. So all the housewives are basically talking, right? And Sandra's like, my strategy at this point is to continue to be the housewives' best friend, making sure I'm good with everyone. And Larsa runs the housewives. Point blank. But she's got a big mouth. She's very blunt. She's got to go.
Yeah. And Larsa's like, what are we going to do? Like, we're just going to like get there. We're just going to get there. Like, we're going to like get to the round table, like, and just kind of listen. So tonight, like, just listen, like, which, you know, is not going to happen. So then in another room, Janelle, Kevin, Parvati, and Bergie are talking. And Bergie's like, oh, wow, I was not expecting Ekin Sue to go today, and she's dead. And now I'm like, oh, well, I know how to vote. Like, what do I vote for? And Janelle's like, Bergie, what are you saying is going on with you? Like, what are you trying to say here? I'm just like, I'm not saying anything at the roundtable tonight. I'm just going to listen. I'm going to listen to everyone tonight. So they're all going to just plan to listen tonight, which is funny because you know that literally no one's going to listen to anything anyone says.
Yeah. And so Parvati is like, well, another thought I had about performing. Listen, those housewives perform every day on Housewives. We've got to get them. And Kevin's like, yeah, I agree. Larsa makes more sense from what I've been seeing. Let's get her. Parvati's like, yeah, because you remember, he said that we ate something or we drank something at breakfast. Larsa stood up at the end of the table and said, cheers. Cheers to Marcus. That means she was trying to get somebody to drink.
That means,
like, wow. Parvati is literally giving away her own strategy, and still nobody gets it, because that's what she did. She was like, cheers, everybody. And that's how she got What's Her Buns to drink, right? Did she start that cheers?
She did. She did. And she just, it was just a Ekin Sue. She was like, cheers, Ekin Sue. Here, you can drink out of this so you can participate in the cheers between the two of us. And, also, didn't Alan Cummings say that the poisoning happened last night? I could be wrong, but I think he said last night. So now everyone's like, oh, yeah, Larsa did say cheers.
I don't measure in days and nights. I measure by ball gowns that I was wearing. Pinstripes, sateen, which was it, Ben?
Janelle's like, I'm definitely leaning towards voting for Larsa. I mean, like, there are, like, alarm bells going off for me, and Larsa has been manipulating the housewives, and the faithfuls really need to band together instead of listening to what the traitors tell them. Also, I'm pretty sure she's 65, so she's lying on that front, too.
Also, I hate old people, so she's out. So then Janelle stands up, and so she goes to whisper to Sandra about thinking it's Larsa. Okay, so then they join up with MJ and Phaedra. So Larsa's like, okay, guys, like, it's an alpha male, guys.
It's an alpha male, like.
All we're looking for is, like, alpha males, okay? Because, like, do the numbers, you guys. Don't ask me to, please. You guys do them. I want to see what it's like. Numbers are, like, hard. Like, I feel like a man's, like, easier for us to, like, get right now.
And so Janelle's like, I think it's two men and two women. So now fine, they're going to look at the board and narrow down their choices. But Janelle and Trishelle stay behind. So Sheree's like, oh, my God, Larsa. What a lady. She's so classy. But, you know, she can hold her own against anybody, and she's coming hot. She's coming in hot.
First time I think I've heard Larsa referred to as such a lady and so classy. That's a first. So Larsa's looking at these photos, and she goes, like, look at him. It's not him, Bergie. He's definitely not an alpha. He's just sort of like a pussy, a stupid pussy who, like, shouldn't even be here. Oh, and Kevin, he's not smart enough. I mean, it's in his mouth open, bitch. Yeah, exactly. And I've been, like, questioning Dan, but he's also not alpha. So I think it's, like, CT. And I'm telling you, CT's the alpha. So let's get rid of all the big guys. He wants to get rid of the big guys, okay? Because guess what? He can win challenges on his own. He's an alpha. This logic does not make sense.
No, and Sandra's like, oh, gosh, CT and myself are both gamers. I have to stop this. I got to put a stop to this. So she passes, sees Dan, like, and Kevin, and she's like, okay, here's what these ladies want. They want CT gone. What are we going to do?
But, like, why is Sandra having loyalty to gamers? It's like there's so many, like, false assumptions. Like, if anything, all the gamers have been acting like we're so much better at this game than the housewives. And now suddenly they're like, wait, no, the housewives are better than us. So we got to stick together. But it's like, no, you guys are the gamers. You guys shouldn't trust each other at all. So Sandra's like, Larsa and them want CT gone tonight. And it's between you and CT. And, like, you know what? She decided to go for CT because he's, like, a bigger alpha male. So just now, it just happened. And I think they want Larsa. So if they want Larsa, Larsa wants CT. So she's basically telling Kevin, like, it's going to be between Larsa and CT tonight.
And Kevin's like, well, I think that I'm going to vote for. She's like, Larsa, you're voting for Larsa. He's like, okay. So then Larsa walks past CT in the hallway. She really is such a dum-dum. And this just goes to show you, whoever the most A-type is and the boldest, the most alpha, people will just automatically listen to, because Larsa is the biggest loudmouth, and so everybody just assumes that she's smart. But she's so dumb. Like, she passes CT in the hallway, and she's like,
I'm worried about you. I'm really worried about you, CT. Like,
Like, really worried about you, dude. He's like, what the fuck?
Marcia, if you think that's the villain, why are you saying that to his face? Also, I mean, Larsa had a moment where she was playing the game really well, and she was super suspicious of Dan. And then at that point, she was suspicious of Dan because Dan was the quietest, which I think is like really good logic. But then she went from it's got to be the quietest person who's being unassuming to now it's got to be the alpha, basically the biggest and brashest person. And I don't know why she suddenly had that pivot.
Right.
But that's very Larsa.
Okay, so now it's time for the round table. And Larsa's like, you know what? I feel like I'm like over the lies, I feel like. Because like, I don't want to like dilly-dally anymore, okay?
Larsa's not a dilly-dallier. I don't want to not point the finger at the person I believe is the traitor. Oh, as if Larsa has been holding back all the season. So Alan's like, good evening, players. And welcome to your unsafe space. Today you said goodbye to Ekansu, and you said goodbye to a massive $20,000 as you completely failed in the mission. What a waste. Soon you will all vote on who you want to banish from the game. The traitors made it personal today by killing one of you publicly. Will you allow that to go unpunished? Over to your players.
So Janelle's like, hi, can I have the stupid people stick? Because I'm going to be talking to them right now. Great. So, guys, look, we're looking for someone who is, like, poisoned. And yesterday, Larsa stood up and she gave a cheers to Marcus. So, basically her. Wow. I can't believe I've been talked into this stupid fucking theory as I call people stupid the entire show.
Larsa goes, I cheers to everyone. Cheers to Marcus. Cheers to everyone. And Janelle goes, I think your cheers is weird. Well, you're telling me that's weird? Cheers? I think you're weird.
I died.
Like, you're weird. Like, you know what? I think like how selfish you are, this weird, like you think I would ever murder my own boyfriend, like?
And Peter's like, guys, you know what? No one's gonna suspect you murdering Marcus, so it's like brilliant to do if you're a traitor, right?
But all the guys that have been murdered are the big guys that we need. Dare I say it? Alpha's like, so who is the person that's doing this? Look at the profile. Another big guy that's murdering these people is doing it because he doesn't need them, like.
Oh, geez. So now I gotta apologize for doing fucking squats? Geez, why does it gotta be a big guy?
It's an alpha male, like. And, like, I feel like you're the biggest alpha male at this table, like.
And he's like, oh, Jesus. And Peter says, why take out Ekansu, though? And she's like,
because they don't like neither, like, okay? Because, like, he's capable of being a traitor, like, 1,000%. Like he has people fooled, but he told me he's an actor, like, so it's him.
Yeah, so you're good at that, like, because you had me fooled, like. Do I think you're the head of the snake, like? Yes, like. So CT, because CT doesn't need Ekansu, he drops her because he's such an alpha, which means that he doesn't need anyone. So that doesn't really narrow things down. No. Also, CT being an actor, it's one thing to say you're an actor. It's another to actually be a good actor. And based off of CT's IMDb, listings, which I have to assume is like -3. I feel like his acting, I don't think acting is what CT is known for personally.
No. And it's also any person who is a reality star is kind of an actor. I mean, they will tell you, like, I'm really here to do real acting. I thought, like, reality's my survival gig, so.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. So CT is like, so how do you know I'm the head of the snake? She goes, because I know when you stand over there, you will say you're a traitor. My friend, you guys will all see. He's going to be the traitor. And he's like, well, I'm a faithful 2-2. Go Pats.
So Kevin's like, I really don't like this alpha theory. And MJ goes, yeah, but like it would fit if it were you. And he goes, why? And she goes, because you consider yourself threatened by these alpha men that have been murdered. So like the stronger guys, the louder guys, you want to, you know, you would. And he's like, but why would you think I'm so insecure that I feel threatened by another man? Like Kevin got really pissed off there. And she's like, I'm just saying, if you were, he goes, so if I was a traitor, I'd get rid of you first because I find you highly annoying. What are you saying?
Yeah, he's because I find you highly annoying, which is he's basically using the Tamra logic. Also, this is also, I think, a good vindication for Kevin, because that is, again, terrible logic to get rid of someone if you're a traitor. I'm just going to get rid of you because you're annoying. So Tamara's like, well, Kevin, today at the burial, in between your snacking, when you saw who it was, you just, like, overacted, and, like, it just didn't look real to me. Also, you left half of your muffin on Ekansu's coffin, which I thought was really disgraceful.
So this is when Parvati tries it. She's like, the performance aspect has been on my mind for a while, which is why I was thinking it might be Kevin, because he is an actor. But who has the capacity to perform the part? Actors and housewives, I think. The housewives. Now look, you can say a lot about housewives. We've met a lot of real housewives. They are themselves. I've not met one that has been different on the show than they are in real life. They're really that crazy. Just accept it.
Okay? I mean, let's not forget Todd Tucker's The Pass starring Drew Sidora. Drew Sidora is an actual actress, and we saw her act in that. She's not a good actress, okay? Like, the housewives, if the housewives could be good actresses, they would all be acting, but they can't, so they're on The Housewives, okay?
And for someone to say the housewives are great actresses, so I can make one guess that I'm sure is 100% correct, and that's more than I can say than for most people on this game, which is that Parvati has not seen Halloween, okay? Because, wow.
I mean, look, I'll allow a Lisa Rinna and an Eileen Davidson and a Garcelle Beauvais. I will allow that. But, you know, pretty much from the non-Beverly Hills housewives, I don't think we're not seeing Oscar-level quality acting from them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they are talking about it, and Lars is like, we don't act, my friend. We live our life like. We live our feels like our life like. Feels like.
We do not act, my friend. What you see is us living our life, outing people's cancer, falling in love with our husband's co-worker's son, things like that. Like, that's not acting like. So Parvati's like, it's a performance as well. And Pedro's like, don't come for the housewives, honey. We are not a game, Parvati.
He's like, yeah, but it does appear that way to me. I mean, you guys gather together, you walk around the house, and CT's like, yeah, there's a suspicion going around. You guys are together, and like it's more likely that the majority of you is the traitors. And she's like, the only person I've worked with in this room, this is Phaedra. She's like, it's Sheree, and everyone else is a stranger, and we're not killing anybody. So don't do the housewives thing. Don't do the housewives thing. Is this really what you want?
Yeah, that's actually where she says, don't do that, Parvati. I jumped the gun there a little bit because I was so excited when she did that. And Phaedra's basically like, I am pissed. She's like, you're bringing heat my way, and I'm not going to tolerate bad behavior at the round table.
Yeah. So now it's their now they have to vote and give their reasons. So Dan votes for Larsa, and Larsa's like,
oh, you did that because I voted for you first. Like, wow, how alpha. Whoa. Wow, alpha, right, guys?
He goes, sorry if I'm wrong. And Tamara's like, my vote is for Kevin. There's just something about you, Kevin. There's like a pool of crumbs right on top of your chalkboard right now. Just look at you, disgusting, annoying traitor.
And CT's like, listen, I'm not 100% sure, okay? But Larsa, if you're going to come for me, then, you know, I got to do something to protect myself. She's like, oh my God, that's so like alpha like.
And Sheree's like, well, I voted for John. I don't think he's a traitor. I just need more time. So John it is. It's like, okay, great, Sheree.
And plus he breathes funny. So so Fergie's- then Fergie votes for Larsa. Because if it's between CT and Larsa, he trusts CT more. So sorry. And she's like, you know what? No worries then. But like, I feel like you're going to like get murdered next week. I feel like.
And MJ votes for Kevin. She's like, I voted for you because you got really defensive. And Pedro's like, well, unfortunately, Kevin, I didn't have a lot of evidence except for you coming up as a great actor. So I voted for you too.
And so Sandra voted for Larsa. She's like, I refuse to accept your age, so it's you. Plus, you displayed traitorous behavior in the way that you cause a lot of chaos with all the information and everything you say. Chaos, lady, you're out. Plus, You've knocked on three different doors, and I've never been able to identify your knock. You're dead.
Peter's like, my vote's for you, MJ. You should have been murdered. And that's what I'm going off of. I was like, okay, great logic there, Peter. And John is like, well, Kevin, I've come to the conclusion that you're an immensely capable guy, but you are acting a part.
But obviously, like, I'm going to, like, say CT, like, because, like, white jeans are stupid. And, like, there's, like, dead bodies every place, like, so, bye, stupid.
And Parvati votes for Larsa, and Kevin also votes for Larsa. He says, I think if anybody could ringlead, that's you. And for that, I have to say, I believe you're a traitor.
So then Trishelle also votes for her, and Larsa is banished. So yeah. Her speech is,
guys, like, I hope you're gonna, like, switch directions, like, because you're dumb. And, like, I'm a faithful. And guess what? I feel like I already knew that. Bye, stupids.
Yeah. Phaedra goes, told ya. And Shreya's like, oh my gosh, don't act surprised. You guys are killing me. You guys are killing me. How come you all didn't vote with John out of nowhere for no reason? And Trishelle, of course, then Trishelle's like, I didn't even like my vote. I didn't even like my vote. She's suddenly acting like she was like forced to vote for Larsa.
Yeah. So they're all upset, right? And Tamara's like, well, I guess the housewives should stick together then.
Poverty threw something out there about the housewives banding together. And I'm like, huh, you better watch yourself, bitch.
So, and Pedro's like, well, I wanted to vote for Poverty, but I didn't want to be like a mean vote. You know what I mean? But I'm like, don't do that. So Pedro is furious. You can see she's furious because she's actually like a little rattled at the round table. Normally she's like very calm, but here she's like a little, like, there's a different vibe about Phaedra that we haven't actually seen in a few years. So she is like, she's furious.
So now Sheree is like, you know, the gamers want to break up the housewives. We've got to get them. So then CT and Trishelle meet outside and they're talking about it. And he's like, okay, so the housewives have got the focus now, all right? And she's like, yeah, it has to be someone in that Bravo group. It's got to be a housewife for sure.
Dun, dun, dun. I mean, but like you look at the odds, it's like, yeah, there, it probably, one of them probably is a housewife. But also odds are there's some that are not housewives. This really doesn't like narrow anything down. So CT's like,
no, because they're acting like they can all work as one big group. There's not that many traitors. You guys know there's not five traitors. You know what I mean?
Like, I know.
So this just doesn't make any sense. If it is one of the housewives, they're going to be working against the other housewife. Although, I mean, I guess like the clique can't still get rid of people. You know what I mean? So voting power does still matter, as we just saw, because one of the housewives got voted off. So.
Right. And so Trishelle talks about how she has her complicated relationship with CT. But like he's changed a lot because he's a dad now and he's got like a huge ass. So, you know, he's a great guy. And I'm really starting to think that like maybe he's worthy of wearing a beret also. I think I can trust him. He's the only person I feel comfortable sharing real information with.
Okay, so now it's time for the traitors to meet up in their secret space. So Parvati's like, I don't know if Phaedra's mad at me, but like she acted like she was, but I don't know if she's acting like she was or she really was. So let's see, because it would be great if Phaedra was exposed. So they all come to the fire and Phaedra just takes off her hood and goes, that wasn't cool.
For you to go in there and try to throw me under the bus. And so Dan's like, wait, what happened? But then you do stuff, when you do stuff like that, it brings attention to me. Like, oh, they work together. They're on the show. I'm like, are you kidding me? No one likes you, Parvati. Everyone says you're a traitor. Dun, Parvati's dun, face dun. Is like...
She's looking at Dan like she needs help from Dan, but Dan's just acting stupid, which is Dan's move. And Dan can't act stupid because he was literally there. So he's like, what? What happened? What are you guys talking about? Do you guys want me to go over the rules of the game again? And Phaedra just lets her have it. And she's like, if you want to be in this game together, we can be. But if you don't want to play fair, we don't need to, you little fucking idiot.
You'll have more problems with the faithfuls. What she did tonight was unacceptable, and I will not tolerate it at all. I'm playing very fair with you, so don't do that to me. And then she looks at Dan and goes, both of you. I was like, what? I love it. I love Dan thought that this was Poverty was going to get all the heat. Because he basically, by the way, he set up Parvati, you know, because like if there's an issue with Phaedra and Parvati, he's the one who actually winds up looking squeaky clean. But the fact that Phaedra knew and she looked at Dan and said, both of you, oh, so good.
So she's got an uphill battle hill because it's two against one. But I don't know. I believe she can do it. You know, these people don't know. They're coming from the place where they think if they insult someone for being a housewife that they win, right? Like, that's the most embarrassing thing you can be. It's like a real housewife. That is so stupid. We're like from Smart Games where you have to use your brain. We're not like housewives. You guys are such fucking morons. And one thing housewives are not is stupid. You have fucked with the wrong person. If anyone can manipulate everyone around you to get them to turn against you, it's a real housewife. Have you lost your damn minds?
Exactly. That is literally what they do every single day. People on Twitter have been really good about pointing out that gamers on CBS or any of these shows, you know, they've got to do this for a show just to get through a game. But like the housewives have to do it season after season after season to stay on their show. So they definitely know what they're doing. And it just speaks again to just the general snobbery that goes to the housewives deal with, like whether it's on The Traitors, whether it's at the Emmys, whether it's just at a cocktail party. Oh, you watch The Housewives? I don't know how you could watch that. The Housewives deal with shit all the time, and it's time they got their proper respect. And if Phaedra winds up going home because of this bullshit, I will be so mad because she's playing a great game. And Dan and Parvati did not need to make this strike this early. This is totally unnecessary. But it is.
Well, they're going to hang themselves with the needing to be gamers and like showing off that they can play games and make big moves. And this particular game is not about that, you dummies. And it's way too early. And you should know from being in your own seasons that making big moves this early, those people always go home, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that it works out that they get their asses kicked off because you never know. And also those games, the gamer games, so much of those are based on luck and people get credit for things like Dan, I will especially give credit because he really was going to get kicked off when he did that Dan's funeral thing. Like he really did save his own ass. He made a good play there. I'm not going to say they don't make any moves, but for the most part, Big Brother is a carnival game. I mean,
you wind up, you hold on to a hot dog, you know, longest and you get immunity and you last another episode, you know? Right.
And so there is some skill in the manipulation. And obviously that plays one part of it, but they're acting like, oh, they're so smart because you're from Big Brother. You literally can only be cast on Big Brother if you're a fucking moron. They don't cast smart people on Big Brother. That's the point.
Yeah, the other thing is I really want Phaedra to persevere just for everyone on Twitter's sake, because last week after the first three episodes dropped, you know, at the end of episode three, MJ and Larsa were on to Dan. And so everyone on Twitter was like, Dan thinks he's playing such a good job, but Larsa is running circles around him. And everyone, like, people weren't actually even paying attention to MJ that much. Everyone was like, all the memes were like how Larsa's an idiot on Real Housewives of Miami, but then on The Traitors, she's amazing at it. And wow, Larsa's gonna like, Dan has no idea what he's going up with Larsa. And then this episode, Larsa is a disaster and gets voted off. So I don't, but now everyone's saying like, oh, they've activated Phaedra. You better watch out because you don't even know what an activated Phaedra can do. Look at what happened with Apollo and the other lady. You know, you don't even know. So I really hope, like, I don't want Twitter to be proven wrong twice. I want us to be right. I want us to be like, yeah, you've activated Phaedra, and I want us to be right about that. I don't want Phaedra to go home next
week. Well, I want to see Phaedra get her revenge because Phaedra is tricky. And usually on Housewives, and first of all, Phaedra left. She was fired from Housewives because she failed. Like, she really did fail at her trickery there because she was trying to orchestrate this big storyline against Candy and Portia, and it blew up in her face. She got totally called out for it, and she has been in a humiliated, discarded state of disgrace ever since. So this is Phaedra coming back. So it's her big redemption arc, but also, we get to see what she's doing because a lot of times on Housewives, they hide their hands, you know, and here you don't get, you're going to get to see her get her revenge on these people and work her magic. So I'm hoping she at least stays long enough. Also, I voted for her for the win. So, you know, for selfish reasons, I want her here. But I also just want to see her work her manipulation magic against all these idiots.
She's more fun to watch manipulate than Dan it is fun to watch Dan manipulate. Parvati, I think, is fun to watch manipulate, to be honest. But Phaedra, I love watching her manipulate in this situation. And honestly, I've watched her final monologue on this episode so many times. Just it was just such a great dressing down by her. The way she just like caught them off guard, you know, and they were speechless. They had nothing to say to her. And she came for them. She came for both of them. Dan thought he was out of harm's way. And she was like, nope, you also are going to get it if you try to come for me. I loved it. My only fear is that it's just going to make them more determined to get rid of her.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about Potomac a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, maybe we'll switch these around and do Potomac full. And this one, just an update. I don't know. We'll decide later. But let's talk a little bit about Potomac, shall we? So last night's episode was a Mother's Day episode,
yeah,
which basically was just an excuse for Candace to sing. Nobody needed that. Okay. Who has a Mother's Day party and then makes their guests stand around and listen to them sing a song for their album? Are you fucking kidding? And I love that the hotel was like, here's some random piano in the lobby.
Yeah, we roped off.
Found in a semicircle around.
Yeah, being played by non-Baptiste. And so basically they're all there. It was a very mothers and daughters episode. You know, there was a scene of Karen and her daughter, Raven. And Raven was giving advice to Grace before she goes off to college. Raven, by the way, Raven has become very, like, she's broken the trend of children of Real Housewives who speak like they've had lobotomies. She, every child of every Real Housewife of all time is like, hi, how's it going? Which makes sense because their parents are, like, usually so alpha that there's, like, no room for them, so they just they barely talk. But Raven has like a whole like made for TV personality now. She's like, you know, she's very bubbly. She's like, oh, let me tell you about college. It is so fun. Like here's the real tea about what happens when you go to school. And that was like surprising to me that Raven had so much personality.
She's like, I'm an influencer now. So
yeah.
So we saw that. And then Candace and her mom, I mean Candace's mom. Their whole thing, let's see, what did they do? They were talking about kind of having a baby or whatever. I mean, really the meat of this episode, the Mother's Day thing was, the Mother's Day thing was cute, I guess, but it was like Candace's showcase. And then it was a showcase for perfumes.
Yeah. It was
what
like,
what was that about? Was it Karen's? It wasn't Karen's perfume specifically, was it?
No, it was, like this whole brunch was somehow like, I guess it's Candace working with a perfumery or the perfumery was sponsoring this brunch or something like that. Yeah. But Karen was obviously feeling a little insecure about her. So like at any given moment, she was like, well, it's so wonderful that, you know, to have a fellow person in the fragrance space. Mine's been around for 5 years and we've been in Bloomingdale's and we just got into the last Radio Shack remaining in America. It's in Idaho. So if you go there, you can get a Tandy computer and La Dame fragrance. It's really quite an accomplishment for us.
Yeah. So every time someone talked about fragrance, she was like, well, La Dame, Bloomies. That whole thing was kind of awkward. And guess what else? When I'm eating brunch, one of the things I specifically don't want is to be surrounded by people who've just sprayed themselves with perfume. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Can I just eat in peace? So they do that. There's not very much drama. The meat of this episode really came with Robin and Candace finally getting to talk at the end. Oh my gosh, these two. So Candace did her typical, well, I would like to give you the opportunity to tell me why you are so mad at me. Have you noticed that Candace is like playing a game show in every diary room she does? She's just trying to come up with words. The whole diary room session for Candace's season is, you have asked me things and I don't. What is she doing? Why is she looking around trying to come up with things to say the whole time? It's bizarre.
I know. So she and Robin meet at this strange little bakery kind of place. And she's like, my goal today is just to listen to what you have to say. So Robin's like, okay, well, you know, I think that like, if
Like, I'm not going to throw my husband under the bus for no reason. So if no one brings it up, I'm not going to just, like, enter that piece of information onto a show.
And Candace is like, yeah, but we're filming a TV show about our lives. She goes, yeah, but like.
Oh, really? Where's Chris? Because he's not really around.
Exactly.
Notice that he's not filming a TV show. So.
I mean, I actually, believe it or not, I actually, like, I actually did. I don't know if I'm contradicting myself in the past, but in this case, when I watched it this time, I was like, you know, Robin has a point. Like, yeah, like Juan did something stupid and shady and probably cheated on me, but I got over it. Why should I enter that into evidence if no one's asking about it? And I know what you're going to say, which is that she came for Yadi, so-and-so, which is true. But if people don't bring it up,
there's no reason for Robin to volunteer. Why the hell would she bring it up?
Yeah.
That would just
I mean, it felt hypocritical to us because she was going so hard for, you know, other people, like Karen, when she has her own skeletons in the closet, which is probably what I think Candace should have brought up. But I think Robin was justified in saying, like, I didn't want to bring it up because then, like, I'm over it. I decided to move on. I've decided, like, I'm okay with this. But then, you know, you bring it up and then no, everyone else will just, like, come at me for this for the rest of my life. So I was mad that then you went onto social media and you went onto like every single platform and you came hard for me. And like, what friend wouldn't like, I mean, why would I be like chill with that?
Well, I like, because Candace does this thing where she's like, what? Why would you be mad at me? Not anybody else. Why is it always me who gets in trouble? Well, okay. From an audience perspective, of course, it looked like Robin was just standing up for you the whole season against Giselle because she was trying to protect. She wanted somebody on her side when this news possibly came out about Juan, because she told us, I think at the reunion, she told the audience or Andy or whoever, she's like, well, I assumed Karen was going to bring this up all season and she didn't. So. Right. I was just waiting for Karen to bring. So she knew it was coming. So from an audience standpoint, it looks like, oh, okay. Well, she was just kind of using Candace to be there to stand up for her at the end. Okay. So Robin sucks. So I stand by that Robin sucks. And I think that she probably was doing that. But from a friend perspective, from a Robin perspective, why would she tell on herself if she didn't have to? That's your all's fault for not solving the mystery. It was right there. And it's Karen's fault for not bringing it up. And why wouldn't she be pissed at you for going on podcasts and blogs calling her a fraud? And then we see the texts, the tweets pop up of what Candace was saying about her. And they're horrible. You know, Candace really does have a vicious, acid tongue when she gets pissed off on social media. We all know that. And they were horrible. Of course she's going to be mad at you. So why are you acting like you have no idea why she would be mad at you?
And if anything, Candace is like, but you never told me you were pissed. Like that. So Candace is saying, I'm justified because you just didn't tell me you were pissed. I'm like, Candace, you don't have to be told. Also, if someone is not, when you text them and say, are you mad at me? And they don't respond, that is the response right there. So you were actually told, you idiot. So then, but then Robin's like, and furthermore, my second point is that I didn't like that you said that I had some sort of conspiracy with Giselle and Ashley. And Candace is like, I just don't believe that you would have, like, she feels like, that Robin was acting when she feels that Robin knew that Giselle and Ashley were going to do this, and Robin was acting, pretending like she didn't like it, and that's why Candace was mad at her.
Yeah, I think they both have kind of points here, because of course those girls all work together. We know that they do. So I think those girls standing by Giselle at all is reason enough to be mad at them, because that shit, that was not cool what Giselle did at all.
So Candace thinks that Robin knew what Giselle was going to do, and then Robin pretended to be against Giselle and like not like pretend to be grossed out, not grossed out, but pretend to feel like disagree with Giselle in this situation. What did Candace think Robin's endgame was for disagreeing with Giselle publicly? Like, if according to Candace,
she could say, I don't always agree with Giselle because everyone's always accusing me of just being Giselle's lackey, and I don't always agree with her. On this, I disagree. And also, when the stuff comes out about Juan, you'll stick up for me because you know what it's like having your husband attacked, because your husband is being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right. I think that's the end.
Now, why did? But now, why didn't?
But also,
why
wasn't Robin Candace did know? Just before I forget to tell you, Robin did know this. Well, she didn't know specifically it was going to come up, but she knew about Giselle, what Giselle's accusations were, because Giselle had told her after that night, like Rob, he came to my room to talk to me, or my dressing room, whatever it was. My glam team wasn't there. I felt uncomfortable. Blah blah blah. So she already knew that that was. Said, and does Giselle ever keep anything off camera? I don't think she ever has. So she knew it was an opportunity.
So Candace did not suspect this of Robin. So Candace is saying, you were playing me because you knew about this the whole time and you were acting like you were disagreeing with Giselle so that way you would look good when this would come out. But she was not suspicious of this until the reunion, I guess, right? Then she started to be like, wait a second, Robin's not with me. And it turns out Robin never was with me. And this was all a conspiracy. I think that is the trail of logic for how they got here, if I remember correctly. It's like, for some reason, this specific storyline, I can never keep straight in my head. But also, like, are we giving Robin too much credit? Is Robin capable of pulling off some sort of conspiratorial scheme like this? I kind of don't think she can. I feel like this is really a little too high level for her.
On Robin's end, I think it's just her being like, well, Candace is going to be upset because they're coming for her husband this season. And they're going to be coming for my husband too. So if I band together with her, I can have somebody on my side to fight for her husbands. I don't think it was like a huge conspiracy. I just think
even that like, I don't know if Robin can pull off. I don't know. Like, I just don't think that Robin thinks that far ahead. I think Robin, if there's anything she loves to do, she loves to point that finger. And if there's like a situation where someone is acting sketchy in a hotel room and she believes it, I feel like Robin's like, yeah, you were doing that. I feel like she cannot resist that. That is like her candy. So there's part of me that, I don't know. I feel like Robin just, I don't think that Robin even thinks on a level of like, oh, my shit with Juan's about to come out, so let me get an ally ahead of time through Candace, because she already has an ally with Giselle and Ashley, so she doesn't need Candace. So I don't know. I don't know if Robin can even think on that level.
That they were going to be coming for her husband that season. But also beyond, you know, her just wanting an alibi so she's nice to Candace, even if that's untrue, I mean, the truth is still there, which is she probably just didn't believe what Giselle was saying. I mean, what she said made sense last year and they showed a clip of it last night when she was saying, look, he didn't threaten her. The door was open. He didn't know, you know, she made a case like why Giselle is probably overreacting to the Chris stuff. She didn't accuse Chris of doing anything really bad, except this year she said he made me go to a hotel. He made me go into the room, which that's when she kind of took it over and took the language into like even creepier territory than it was last year. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on this, on what you're saying here, because I actually feel like where the Juan stuff does inflect it is that it's not so much, I don't believe, like Candace, seems like Candace is saying, I don't believe that Robin was doing all this stuff in anticipation of Juan being outed, but I think that Robin had this POV of being against Giselle because I think Robin had to sort of take, like, I think that Robin is in like an apologist for Juan. And so therefore I think it's easy for her to be an apologist for Chris. And when I say that for Chris, you know, it doesn't sound like Chris did anything really too terrible. He may have made Giselle feel uncomfortable, but, you know, like I don't think it was anything worse than that. Not saying that that's okay, but I think that Robin is used to being an apologist for men, perhaps. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So it's not strange to me that she
would... sexual harassment thing going on, right, which wasn't on camera yet. So I don't know when all that stuff started. Like, I don't know how much was going on behind the scenes. Like, had Juan told Robin that this stuff was going on at the school and that there was trouble with the school was dealing with this coach and what he was doing to the student. Like, did she know that yet? Because I don't think it had been filed yet. The court case or whatever hadn't been filed and Juan hadn't lost his job and all that stuff yet. But Robin might have been like, you know, I'm
particularly sensitive to like men being or like men being like falsely accused in her
mind.
But
also we brought up Candace, how Candace acts like she, you know, she does all this stuff and says all this stuff about Robin and then it's like, why would you be mad at me? Yeah. But Robin is not innocent in that area either. Robin has her own podcast that she goes on and trashes them and Chris and the husband and all of this other stuff. So it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, I like at least that Robin's not fake here. She's just like, why would I not be pissed at you? You're an asshole.
Yeah. I think that is the crux of a lot of it too, is that, which was not mentioned here, was that Robin like partakes in everyone else's storylines about infidelity, but hers, she doesn't even bring up on the show, but then she puts it behind a paywall on Patreon. And that's like frustrating. And I feel like what Candace is really mad at is that it's frustrating that here her husband, her relationship with her husband and her husband get like dragged through the mud all season and then some, whereas Robin has the privilege of being quiet, and then when she does want to, when she does address it, she can address it on her terms and make money for it in a way that Candace wasn't able to.
Yeah, and Candace, part of Candace's argument is, you know, anyone who could be friends with Giselle, someone who would do that to another person, I can't be friends with. Okay, that is valid, I think. And you should just stick with that. But you shouldn't have been friends with her last year either, because Giselle's horrible. Like, and she was still saying she stood against Giselle on that one point, but she didn't go against Giselle. She was still Giselle's best friend. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah.
I don't know. That's all a lot, but it ended with no resolution. And I don't think they can really find a resolution on this. I don't know that there's anything that's going to work out to resolve this cast. I think that they're just going to have to get rid of half the cast.
Yeah, they're going to have to fix something. I will say that we've now had two episodes in a row with significantly less silliness on screen. There was one moment when there was like a hat that they put on screen when they were talking about the cookie contest and the Jack and Jill Society. There was like a little hat or a crown. I should say it was a crown on top of Giselle that they just couldn't resist putting on. But there's significantly less.
The queen of cookies, and then she wasn't the queen of cookies because she accused Karen of cheating, and so they took the crown away.
Yeah, it was a real throwback reference there. But I am optimistic that they're trying to right the ship. I'm hopeful. Because honestly, that we knew right from the trailer for this season. We're like, well, something is wrong. Something is wrong this season. This is the worst trailer we've ever seen for a Real Housewives.
Well, it's, you know, it's Housewives. So it's ups and downs. Everyone has this season to die.
Yeah.
You know, they can't all be great. But
no.
Yeah, this one, they've got some changes. But you know, that was good to see them talk, because a lot of what this is missing is the interaction between most of the Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Not interacting. So it was at least good to see those two interact, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that was pretty much it. We also got like a minor inconsequential update about Jacqueline via Charisse of all people. So there was that too. But
oh yeah, Jacqueline just... Charisse saw Jacqueline at some party and Jacqueline just went off on Mia and talked about her for 2 hours straight.
To NECA. So that storyline is bubbling under the surface. It's two episodes in a row we've heard about that. So anyway, that I think is all that I can personally, like, that were like really jumped out to me about Potomac this week.
Just an update. So everybody, thanks so much for being with us today. We will be back this week with Below Deck Mediterranean season finale, Salt Lake City, Beverly Hills, Miami, and possibly Southern Hospitality as well. One of those might be a bonus. We just don't know. But we will be here. Go get your tickets for the Golden Crappy Awards February 17th in LA. Those are available at watchwhatcrappens.com, and go to our Instagram to find the link to vote for the preliminary rounds that's going on right now. And also, we'll be doing Crappy Hour Live tonight, Monday, 5:30 Pacific time.
Thanks, everyone. We'll catch you in the next one.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Hitchells.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.